Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this November 21st, 2022, you have your host, James, here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Morning, James. Morning, all.
Good to have you here, Randy. Thanks for that. And
here.
A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you for sponsoring the show, gang. We say a good morning to all of them. We're going to be taking your phone calls in just a little bit, everybody, 424-2600. Join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. We'll have some local sports coverage to get into, plenty of other things I want to talk about. But right now we have in studio with us Bob Brickhauser from Assumption High School, and want to thank Bob for being here. Thanks a lot for being here, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
Gentlemen, I want to be honest right in the out the gate. I love basketball. I love talking basketball. Everything about basketball. Over the years doing this with you guys, it has become now. I know that there's college basketball that has been played, and there's some, the NBA has been doing their thing. The basketball season doesn't start for me until the Cranberry Classic. This is how it's been for me for about 4 or 5 years, and it's been going on a lot longer than that, Bob. How long has the Cranberry Classic actually been going on, Bob?
This is our 38th annual Cranberry Classic.
That's beautiful.
First one was in 1985.
Man, is that awesome. That's awesome. How did this start?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how it started or even where it got the name Cranberry Classic, although it's most appropriate.
Yes.
I've heard that there were different people that were involved in getting it started, and one of them was... the Wirtz is from Elm Lake Cranberry, I've been told. In fact, we still recognize them in the booklet. And as it started out just as a boys' tournament with four boys, varsity and JV teams. And then in 1997, we expanded it to include girls' teams also and made it, I guess, it was what you could identify as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new athletic director, and he I think he decided his dad didn't have enough to do.
I know that guy.
It's such a fun tournament. Every year we look forward to this tournament. We look forward to these teams coming in. And I know we've got some regulars that we've seen before, and we've got some different teams coming in that we don't get to see all the time, too.
Exactly.
Can we talk about the teams that are going to be joining us this year?
Sure. We'll start on the boys' side because that field has been pretty set for a couple of years now. It's, of course, Assumption, Columbus Catholic, Nakusa, and Port Edwards. And I think probably have had the same four teams for, I want to say, at least 5 years.
Yeah.
I'd have to look back in the records to be sure. But on the girls' side, there's been some turnover. The two constants have been, of course, Assumption and Columbus Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And this year... we have two teams that have not been in it before, Merrill and Leona Wabena.
Hmm.
And, we've had a number of nice teams that have been with us the last couple of years. Shauna was here for 2 years. I can't remember who else, but I'd have to go back and look. But been a little bit of a turnover.
Hmm.
Now that I think about it, on the boys' side, I know Aquinas was here 2 years ago, but I don't know whose place they took, but it was just for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had something to do with COVID.
Yeah.
One of the local teams.
I seem to remember that too, yeah.
Didn't want to come, so we had to go find somebody. So.
And interestingly enough, with the girls' side, Wabena Leona, that was a matchup from last year late in the season, wasn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, we got us in the state tournament down there and went over there and played them over at DC Everest, if I recall, right?
I believe that's correct, yes. Yeah.
And handled them pretty well, and they had a nice squad, though, and that'll be an interesting matchup, too.
Yes, it will be. I'm not sure who they play first. Let me take a quick look here. Varsity girls. Columbus plays Merrill, and Assumption plays Leona Wabena.
Okay.
So we will get them right out of the gate.
It's a nice little rematch there from last year.
Yeah. This also kind of is the start of the basketball season for us also. Now, actually, our girls were supposed to play...
Stratford on Thursday.
Last Thursday, yeah. And, of course, because Stratford was in the state tournament, we rescheduled that game. So.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of these other teams have had a chance to play or not, but for the boys, it's the first games of the season.
Which is such an exciting, fun way to kick off a high school season. Like, that's just a lot of fun. I also think that one of the things that stands out to us basketball fans, we anybody who follows high school basketball, you certainly have, you can't not have noticed what the Assumption Royals girls team has been doing for years over there, putting out a great team, if not winning a couple of gold balls while they're at it and all that. I think it's also kind of cool for them and that team, and not just the boys' side, or the girls' side, but the boys' and the girls' side, to be able to have some of these play, see how you match up, see how you play against some of these teams. It's a lot easier to lose the first game of the season than the one of the last games of the season or tournament play or any of that. So it's a fun tournament, but there is a serious tone for these coaches and these players going on with it as well. Us as fans, we get to just have a good time and everything, but I imagine these players and stuff are got their, it's game time for them just as well. You see it that way, Randy?
Yeah, and a lot of returning players for both the boys and girls. I think Reed might have been the only senior last year on that team. And they got
and the Sullivan boys
and yes
oh yeah, yeah yes yeah. Yeah, good call.
So, yeah, they've got
and Bryce and Galbraith,
right? So they've got a host of players back on both sides.
They do on both the boys and girls teams at Assumption. Right, they you're very correct in saying they have a lot of returning. Yeah. A lot of returning players.
For the girls, I know Ayanara will be a key young lady missed after the last couple of years.
And yeah.
She's been so much fun to watch as well.
It's just a great wishing her the best. She is going to be missed, though. And it not only gives us a little bit of a preview of the season ahead with that and these players and all that, there's so much else about this event that is so much fun. I say this every year. Even if you don't like basketball, you will have a great time at the Cranberry Classic. There's stuff to do. There's stuff to take in. There's certainly, first and foremost, supporting our community and being there for each other like that. I think that part of it is a huge part of this as well. As Bob mentioned, it is a fundraiser. But there is always good food. There is a good atmosphere. Can we talk about that a little bit, Bob, about some of the food that will be down there?
Right. We'll have a very complete concession stand again. I mean, you can come at 9 o'clock in the morning and stay until 10 o'clock at night, and you'll be
completely covered.
You'll be satisfied with food.
Yeah.
I can't tell you exactly what the menu is for this year.
Sure.
We're very, very fortunate. For many years, we had Elaine Skiba that did the concession stand. The last couple of years, and including this year, Tara Dillman is doing it.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, unless you need me for something, just do your thing, because she's very, very good at it, and as Elaine was. And I'm sure we'll have an excellent menu. I know we're getting some soup donated by Grace's Restaurant, and I've been there and had their soup, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other donations also. So, it's an excellent concession stand. We don't have a great deal of halftime activities anymore. We do 50-50 raffles at the varsity games for Assumption girls and boys. And we give away cranberry products donated by Crab Hill Cranberry and also by Elm Lake Cranberry. And then we have like the 50-50 split on the money also. So we do that at the varsity games. Then we do a tuition credit, which is being sponsored this year by Wheeler Auto at the Assumption boys games. So we used to do more at halftime, and I don't know, it just seemed to slow things down. We start out with a half court shot contest, and we had had some very interesting moments.
Yeah.
But very first guy at the first, he was from Adams Friendship, and he got out in the middle of the floor, and you could tell he was just a little bit lost out there.
Mm.
But he threw up a hook shot that swished.
Wow.
Some of those things you just don't forget. One thing we are going to do this year, we're trying to arrange a honor guard for each twice a day, once before the 1:30 girls game and then again before the 8 o'clock boys game. And we're also going to honor our state championship softball team, or recognize them, I should say. And then I believe we're also going to be doing a short tribute to Bob Olson, who was a coach, or boys basketball coach at Assumption for many, many years, who's passed away. So there will be a couple of, you know, a couple other activities.
That's really cool. I'm very happy to hear that about the honor guard, about Bob. That's really cool to hear.
You know, the other thing too, Bob, is that something like this doesn't just get done.
That's a fine. You got to turn your phones off before you get on the radio, Randy. You got to, you know better. You know, no, I'm just teasing you.
The other thing is, you know,
something's mine.
I thought it was mine, Bob. I'm looking at my phone.
Staff. The other thing that we can talk about is just, you know, the massive amount of work that goes into this, you know, besides yourself and besides your son that do this, a lot of behind-the-scenes committees that get together to do this as well.
Exactly. We have an excellent committee. They put in a lot of hours, and I don't know if I brought their names along with me, but so I'm probably a little bit remiss there. I should have done that. But, you know, we've got, like, Craig and Sarah Smits. Jason and Lori Schmidt, Greg and Kay Grundoff for work help for many years. I think they're kind of backing away from a little bit now. Marv Wallach, Jeff Crowns, of course, Joe and myself. And the first thing we do is when we get together is starting probably 2 months ago, is we put together a booklet. And so we've been out hawking ads for, and I'm very happy to announce that we've had to add another complete page to the booklet because of
the sponsors and everything.
Couple of sponsors,
so that's great.
That's great, yeah. And they, the book's getting pretty thick. But, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And the UPS store puts that together for us. Oh. And a young lady over there by the name of Jen has been instrumental in getting it put together, and she has done a great job. So we put together the booklet, and we have the brackets and so forth in there. We don't put the rosters in because for so many years we were really kind of frustrated, but because we'd be waiting for the rosters, particularly the teams that, you know, like the boys that they hadn't played yet, okay? And, we needed a roster of varsity and JV.
Yeah.
So rather than hold up the printing of the book, we put that now on a separate sheet of paper.
Oh, smart.
And so it's very handy. So, but booklets go well. We don't charge for them, we have I don't know how many advertisers we have now, but I think it must be about 130.
What are the details, the dates, the time for this?
Well, we start on Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and we run the girls each day, the girls portion of the tournament first. We start out with each day two JV girls games at 9 and at 10:15, and then we go to the varsity girls games, and it's the same times both days. And the varsity girls games are at 11:30 and 1:15 p.m. Mm-hmm. And this is a, for the last couple of years, what we've done is a championship consolation. When we used to have teams that were in our conference in the tournament, we'd kind of arrange a schedule so we didn't play them, you know, because we'd already been going to play them at least twice. And then at 3 o'clock, we started on the JV boys, and we have games at 3 o'clock and at 4:30, and then the varsity boys are right after that at 6:15 and 8 o'clock. Now we try to stay on schedule as close as we can, but you know, if you get into an overtime situation or something like that, that can certainly affect our schedule. But we try to stay on schedule as best we can. So.
Excellent.
And, of course, Assumption boys, they start off things with the Nakusa boys Friday night at 8 o'clock, and we're hoping to get over there and do a little broadcasting of that contest as well. We're looking forward to that.
I hope so also. Yeah, that'd be great. Just don't ask me what any of these teams have, because I'm not familiar with that. But I'm sure they'll all be competitive.
Do people need to register or get tickets early for this, Bob? Can they get them the day off?
No, we sell... we sell the tickets right at the door, and it's a one price for the whole day for an adult. Mm-hmm. It's like $5. So if you go watch all eight games, I believe that comes out to 62.5 cents per game.
Jeez. That's one of the best deals you'll ever hear in your life. That's such a good deal.
If you can sit that long.
Yeah, right. you mentioned earlier, both you and Randy mentioned all the great people that helped to make this happen. I want to send a big thank you to all of them, certainly the staff, but the volunteers and so many people that take their time to be a part of this. People that, I don't know, are retired now and don't have to necessarily be doing this. Their son's taken over and they don't have to be doing this, but they continue to do this and even show up on the radio and put up with people like me. Bob, appreciate you so very much, man. It's always good to see you, sir.
It's good to see you.
Tell the family hi, and keep up the great work over there. Everybody over there at Assumption, we'll be talking about this throughout the week. On the morning show, we'll be encouraging people to show up and be there and make sure that this is a really well-attended event, that these kids have a great audience, and that we raise some good funds for Assumption.
Yeah. I appreciate that very much. Certainly that'll help us pack the house.
Sounds good. Bob, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll take some of your phone calls and go over some more sports information here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on WFHR. And, of course, this is your sports show. Call up and join the conversation. Nobody makes a highlight from the sidelines. Call and join us, 424-2600. We'll take your sports thoughts and feelings right up until 11 o'clock. Looking forward to doing that. We can do it thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Randy, how was your weekend?
Busy. We had the good fortune of watching some granddaughters while the son-in-law went out and sat in the cold woods, and that's always a good time.
Did you get a chance while doing that to take in any sports over the weekend? Anything stand out to you? We have so much going on right now. Every major sport is playing outside of baseball, and even baseball has a lot of hot stove news and things like that coming up. So anything stand out to you in the sports weekend or sports week, really?
A lot of interesting games, whether it was football or basketball. Even the girls, college number one and number two faced off.
Yeah.
And I saw it one time on the bottom line. It was like number one was getting beat by 2 points, but they sent it to overtime. South Carolina ends up staying number one, defeating Stanford, I believe it was, by 76-71, I think, was the final on that one. So that had to be an exciting ball game.
Yeah.
Boy, some of the wild finishes in college football. Michigan, a lot of controversy over that game with Illinois with a felt like pass interference, a pick play, and then TCU getting that field goal also right at the end to stay number four in the country. So you got 1-2, and even Georgia. I mean, they didn't have an easy time with Kentucky, surprisingly. And maybe the biggest surprise, though, of them all was Tennessee, right? Number five Tennessee. They
could
be 63-36 by South Carolina. And I don't know. There were just so many different records. One went back to like 1897 or something like that, but I don't remember. This is what I'm going to say. It was like Tennessee was like 22.5-point favorites, and they just got it was like 35-31.5 even, I think.
Yeah. Lost their Heisman candidate quarterback in Hayden Hooker, ACL injury, so he is going to be out for the rest of the year. He's going to be getting ready now. He's going to be focusing on getting ready for the NFL draft. For those of us that are a little tired of the same old teams in college football, it was kind of exciting to see Tennessee getting in there. They're not going to go. They've been bringing in recruits for a long time. They just now got a coaching staff that knows how to use those coaches. So they're not going away anytime soon. They're going to continue to have good teams and everything in the future. I am excited about seeing like a TCU or somebody like that possibly getting into the College Four, into the playoff. I'm not going to hold my breath because I see USC just, you know, right around the corner. And, they haven't been in this before, in this position, but it would be, you know, just kind of like, okay, we got a new team in. It's USC, a team that, you know, has been what you would say college football royalty, really. So it's not like the same as a TCU or something like that.
Was it the TCU-Baylor game where TCU kicks that field goal right at the buzzer, and they ran a play before that, and the clock is winding down? And I heard some interesting comment after I saw this player for Baylor just trying to get off the field as fast as he could.
Yeah.
He didn't have to. you know, because they made substitutions, because they brought on the kicking team.
Once
the offense substitutes, the defense can substitute. They could have just substituted slowly.
Yeah.
And the clock would have ran out. But who thinks of that? You know, the guy is sprinting to get off the field because he doesn't want to give him 5 extra yards. But it turns out, had they taken their time, clock would have ran out and TCU would have lost. So what a finish to that game.
You mentioned women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark at Iowa is one of my favorite ball players to watch. And I know she got a little banged up. I hope she's going to be okay. Because the ladies' game has just been so amazing the last couple of years, and whether it's the young lady from Connecticut, the Brooke and I can't think of her name, but she's really good too. But she's been injured a little bit too. It's the only thing that you that makes you hesitate this early in the season is losing anybody. Since we're talking a little bit of college football, let's go ahead and skew there for a second, because I did want to mention the Wisconsin-Nebraska game, which you got to hear right here on WFHR, like you get to hear all Wisconsin games. Interesting game. Certainly Wisconsin pulls that one off, 15-14 over Nebraska, moving them to 6-5 on the season, 4-4 in the conference. Nebraska pretty much out of things for a long time now.
Now the Badgers bowl eligible, too, because of that win.
Wanted to touch on that,
huge,
Randy.
Right?
I was so... College fans in general can get spoiled with their teams. If you need an example of that, just look at literally any SEC team or Nebraska. Because in Nebraska, every season starts the same way still in Nebraska. In Lincoln, every year, we're going to see if we're going to win it all this year. I'm like, you guys really, you know who you are, right? You're like, you know, but there is that Nebraska fan that is still believes it is 1975 or 1985 or something like that. So they haven't necessarily come down to earth, really, when it comes to that.
Yeah, but they're 3-8 right now.
Yeah. And I don't know who's going to be coaching that team next year. I don't know who's going to want that job. It's a tough job to It's a really tough job, the college recruiting game, let alone when you are coaching in a place that doesn't necessarily bring them in all the time. But the bowl eligible thing, I understand it. If you're a Badger fan, you maybe had bigger expectations this season. All that being said, you lose a coach, you bring in a new coach, all these interchanging parts, and again, keeping in mind something I don't think we do enough with college athletics, these are young adults. These are not grown men. These are not grown women. These are young adults.
Braylon Allen last year was 17.
17 years old. 18. He couldn't even vote yet. And stuff. So all that being said, I think you still have something. It's not just a salvage season. You still got something that's going to draw eyeballs. You get a nice bowl game, hopefully. You know, season pretty good.
I don't know the exact numbers, but it's like their 20 or 21st straight year being in a bowl, and that's like one of the longest streaks in college football.
It's a lot of money, a lot of eyeballs, a lot of things for recruits to see that can't be taken lightly. So I did want to give a shout-out to Coach Leonard and that team. Bowl eligible, that means something.
Yeah, that's down 11 cool. And going into the fourth quarter, down 14-3 and came back and won it.
Thank you. I wanted to get that in there before we get to the call, yes. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful. The snow is gone and the sun's out and it's supposed to get warmer.
Well, yeah, the snow's not going to be flying from the sky, but it's still on the ground. But
and it, kinda, in, especially in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to listen to the bad game this weekend because, obviously, the 9-day deer gun hunt, and plus the area I was in, I wasn't able to get streaming the WFHR to be able to listen to it. So mm-hmm. It kind of stunk, but I'm, you know, the eligibility wise, they're even staying with the Badgers just because of, even though their season record wise hasn't been the best. I mean, I know they're eligible and everything, they're inconsistent, but just because of the draw that Wisconsin takes, they actually might still get a pretty decent bowl pick.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's got to be something the bowl committees look at, right? How many fans are going to come, and you know Wisconsin is going to bring a ton no matter where they play. So I agree with you.
The one projection I saw, they had them in Nashville on the 31st against Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah. That was one of the bowl projections.
That would be a good game. That would be an exciting game.
I think that would be an excellent game.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I'd like to see that. You tell me I get to see more Braylon Allen, I'm already invested, let alone if it's a good defense he's going to go up against and see a good challenge for him and that coaching staff. We still got a little bit of season left to play here and everything. Who knows what could be played out. If I say to you guys, you can pick behind door number two, or you can have Coach Leonard going into next season, going into the 2023 season. Is there any feeling one way or the other right now, or are you kind of like still on the fence about, you know, who you want to be your coach for the 2023 Badgers football team?
I'm in favor of Leonard. I mean, I think I've always kind of said this, or even talked to other people about it, is that I think Leonard was being, especially when he turned down the Packer job. He's being groomed to be the head coach at Wisconsin, anyways, with Paul Chryst. I don't know how you cannot go with him in the first place. It's just in how the players react to him. How he coaches. I mean, you see him jumping up and down on the sidelines all the time. I guess you almost kind of have to sometimes take the fan hat off and look outside the box. But who's out there, you know, that would come in and be a fit at Wisconsin?
You know, the other thing, what's your opinion on this? You can always fire them, but if they leave, you can't get them back. And I got a feeling if they would not keep him as the head coach, he would leave.
Oh, you know? God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he's gone. So if you don't take him, he's gone. So that's the option you probably
have. Yeah, I think he's going to look all the other places.
Because
sometimes, you know, as a coach like that, has he been, you know, he comes back as a coach from being a player there, very successful with the defense. It'd be almost like a slap in the face to him that if he doesn't get that position.
And the players are already, you know, giving him their vote of confidence, like we said last week with Braylon Allen.
You know, unless you're telling me you can bring back 1993 Barry Alvarez, I don't like whoever's behind door number two. I'm not confident about whoever's behind, whoever it is. I don't care if it's Nick Saban's dad. Because it's not the pro game. And we do this sometimes, and it's understandable as fans that we get the lines blurred a little bit from time to time, but there's gigantic differences between college and pro game. And when it comes to the pro game, I don't have to – I can be a good recruiter and everything, but what matters is what's the bottom line? What's my bank going to look like? How much is going to – what is my signing bonus? What is this? What is that? When it comes to the pipelines in college sports – yeah, winning and losing matters, and it's going to, you know, you can lose your job over it, of course, but you can make the argument what matters even more is how is your recruiting? How are your pipelines? Are you able to recruit in-state around you, keep those pipelines healthy? Because even if you don't have a great team, but you got a Braylon Allen, you got a guy who is helping sell jerseys in the store and all these things. You need that. You need that. Those kind of things. You need to be able to bring in players. You've got to be able to show that, even if you're not winning. Coach, I feel much more comfortable as an AD if I'm keeping a guy who already has those pipelines in place, my fan base, these parents. He's already visited, especially like a coach like Leonard. Any defensive kid that's in the 2023 class, Coach Leonard has literally already been in their house, has already talked to their parents. So, I mean, keeping him is almost – I mean, the more we talk about it, the more I think about this – I almost think it's mandatory for McIntosh to keep him. If anything, I'd make that announcement the sooner the better.
I was just going to say they probably have to do that soon because I already saw that two commits have decommitted.
Yeah,
so they can't wait much longer.
And how would you feel as a kid that you're just, you know, you'd like Wisconsin, but you just because of not them not really making a, you know, and I'm sure that's probably why those decommits already had it is. You know, I really want to go to Wisconsin, but who's going to be my coach?
Yep.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't understand why they haven't made that. Because now, if you look at it, if they don't hire Coach Leonard and they wait till the end of the season, you're looking at a Wisconsin team that might not be very good for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Because then he's got to try to turn around and build up, you know, because how many of those kids that are on the fence of doing the transfer portal in the first place. If, you know, I'm sure there's got to be a few of them on the team that if they don't hire Leonard, you know, if they don't name Leonard as the head coach, are they going to go into the transfer portal at the end of the year, you know?
And not only that, how long is it going to take to find a new coach? So that gives you even more time.
Exactly.
So
unless you had, again, unless you had 1993 Barry Alvarez coming through the door, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't get this done this week, let alone, you know, waiting on this. I'm glad you brought up the two recruits to decommitted. There are a couple of kids that are on the fence and are just waiting for that information. And I can't see this. All I can see are the positives to this. I'll say this, like, if my son were to, you know, he's a great athlete. He wants to go play football and he's born and raised in Wisconsin here. So of course we want him to go play at Wisconsin. That's our first and only choice, really. Does Marquette got a football team? No. Okay. Then let's stick with football. All right. Let's look at Wisconsin. If I don't know who the coach is going to be next year, if I'm not sure of that, as much as I love UW, as much as I want to say on Wisconsin and everything, I'm encouraging him, look, you know, look around. See what else is close. Mm-hmm. See what else is there. You know, imagine losing, because here's the other part of this. You've got another coach in the Big Ten that knows your game, that knows the recruiting process for Wisconsin, who is picking recruits off of the Wisconsin timeline real easy, and Coach yep. Bielema. And right there in Champaign, he ain't going anywhere anytime soon. You got to deal. It isn't just the recruits of other colleges; it's recruits that know your pattern, your blueprint, and all this. And so you can't have enough edge in the college recruiting game anymore. You can only help yourself by doing this. And I couldn't agree with both of you enough. I think Coach Leonard's done enough to prove that he has earned this job, and he, you know, they should just sign him to a multi-year deal right now. Get it done with.
Yeah, and you talk about Barry Alvarez. How much maybe is Ian McIntosh's ear too, and telling him, you know, you need to make this decision soon.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm gonna change gears here a little bit. You know, I'm staying in college football, but how much fun is this coming weekend going to be?
Oh yeah,
in college football,
absolutely.
You have Wisconsin, right. Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio State. Then you got Alabama, LSU, and the Iron Bowl. I mean,
Auburn.
This weekend is always the most fun weekend in college football that you have. I mean, granted, yeah. The Alabama, that Iron Bowl might not have as much luster in it as much as it has in the past because of where the teams are sitting, but I don't know. I mean, I love this weekend because, you know, the championship Saturday with the conference championships. I don't really get in tune, you know, get tuned up about those, but the last weekend of college football, that's where it's the best because the good matchups or the fun matchups or the rivalries are really intact on those ones.
It's almost like wild card weekend on the NFL, right?
Yeah.
I could be in a coma.
Yeah, it's fun, so. Yeah.
I could be in a coma right up until this weekend. Just make sure I wake up for this weekend. I could not agree with you more, sir. Because, yeah, you mentioned some good ones. Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl. You've got some stakes there, of course. Michigan, Ohio State game day is going to be at the horseshoe, I guess.
Probably USC, Notre Dame, too, huh? That's always a
one. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a great one.
Yep.
Oregon State, Florida State, and Florida.
Washington State's more.
That's a huge one Washington, right now. The Washington Apple State. Cup, I think it is, yeah, that they play for. Washington's like that kid that they got at Washington, that Penix, is amazing. So I couldn't agree with you more. There's so many good games, even outside of the ones that necessarily pull the eyeballs right away. It's a fun weekend.
It's a great weekend.
Georgia Tech. That's another
There's
one.
Another
that's
one.
Another
one.
Oh,
Ramblin'. They just had an upset too.
Yeah, right. Tech that's what made me think of them. Yeah, that's a great point to bring up. I appreciate you mentioning that, sir. We have to get one last commercial break in, but appreciate the call as always. You have a good week. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on WFHR, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Randy Paul, my partner in sports, here with us, and Randy, you've got some local stuff to cover.
Well, we have to start off with a wrap up of the high school football season as the back on Thursday and Friday, 7 champions were crowned at Camp Randall Field down in Madison. Let's go through with them in the order that they were played. Started off on Thursday in Division 7, Shiocton from the CWC Large Conference, which is home to the Nakusa Papermakers. They fell to undefeated and top-ranked Eau Claire Regis 41-7. Xander Rockow set a Division 7 record with 251 yards rushing. He actually transferred from Thorpe. because Thorpe went to eight-man football.
Oh.
So he transferred over there. Also, for the Chiefs, quarterback Dawson Schmidt set a record for Division 7 with 15 completed passes. So
it's the Ramblers' third state title, I see.
Yeah, so they're a powerhouse, aren't they?
Yeah.
Division 6, the Tigers of Stratford trailed by one in the third quarter before scoring 19 unanswered points on their way to a 32-14 win over Mondovi. Kaylor Kilty rushed for 194 yards as the Tigers have now won their eighth championship in 10 attempts. So congratulations to the Stratford Tigers.
Yeah.
D5, La Crosse Aquinas and Mayville were both undefeated, so something had to give as these two teams met for the second consecutive year. And after recovering a fumble at the Cardinals' 38-yard line, the Blue Gold scored with 204 remaining for the 22-14 win and its second straight championship. With all the things I had going on in my life, that was about the last, I saw about the last 4 minutes of that game. That was about it. Division 4, Columbus caps an undefeated season by beating the defending two-time champion and top-ranked Crusaders of Catholic Memorial 23-21. The difference? A 31-yard field goal by the Cardinals with 4:43 to go. Division 3, Monroe forced four turnovers, was never really challenged as they finished a perfect 14-0 season with a 35-14 win over West Salem. Division 2 saw Kettle Moraine erase a three-point deficit with 20 straight points, and they picked up their second football championship, knocking off West De Pere 27-10. And in Division 1, in a back-and-forth contest where neither team scored consecutively, the Kimberly Papermakers score the winning touchdown from 5 yards out with 26 seconds to go, as the Papermakers outlast McGuanago 34-30. McGuanago lost their best running back with the second play of the game, so that kind of hurt them a little bit.
Looked like one of the more exciting, if not the most exciting, finish to the weekend for these games.
Right. And speaking of exciting finishes, Dallas 40, Minnesota 3. Well, that wasn't high school football. That was the pros yesterday. Sorry, put that on the wrong, wrong sheet of paper
good.
There.
That was good.
Hey, just underway this past week, and we're in the non-conference portion of the schedule for girls' high school basketball. Lincoln High School has started off with a couple of games already, both on the road. They lost at Eau Claire North 67-55, and at Toma 55-54. They got basically a whole new squad as they lost a lot of seniors from last year. But tomorrow night, we hope to be able to broadcast that contest for you between them and Oshkosh West. The Wildcats coming to town. It's probably about 7:06 with our broadcast start. 7:15 is the scheduled tip time for that ball game. Assumption will begin their season tomorrow night at Newman. Of course, as we were saying with Bob before, that last Thursday's game at home against Stratford, we were hoping to broadcast the game, but because the girls wanted to go watch the boys in the state championship, they decided to reschedule that game. Newman is who they're going to play tomorrow night. Newman's already 1-1 on the season. As they lost at Edgar 59-48, but then they won at Wausau East 48-35. Port Edwards also begins tomorrow night as they host Alma Center Lincoln. And Nacoosa has also gotten two games under their belts, losing the opener at Montello 62-11, and then at home to Nacita. Nice one, 31-30. Boy, I'll tell you what, that team is a young team. We hope to get them on the air too.
Yes,
a little bit here.
Yes.
The Lady Papermakers will host Pittsville tomorrow night. And speaking of the Panthers, they're 1-0 as they top Northland Lutheran 73-54. They had four players in double digits that night. Got a bonus score for you.
Nice.
Actually, two. One of them, Kaukauna, played DC Everest. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
DC Everest had 26 points. Kaukauna, 101.
Whoa. I didn't see this. Oh, wow.
Kaukauna beat DC Everest. Now, this is what I read, 101-26. They had 11 three-pointers, so they had more points from beyond the arc than Everest had in the game.
Oh, that's rough.
And the second bonus one, Dallas 40, Minnesota 3. Now, that was not girls' high school basketball. Again, going back to that other sheet.
Oh, which, I love it. I love it.
I don't know if you saw that score or not. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Randy. All great stuff right there. Do you have anything else?
Oh, the River Kings.
Yeah, what did they touch on?
How about
that?
Them on Thursday? They won versus the Mullets of Minnesota in Minnesota 5-3. We're up 4-1 right away off the bat. They outshot the Mullets 41-36. And then on Friday, they picked up another W over the Mullets again, 3-0 this time, scoring a goal in each period. And now they're off until December 2nd and 3rd. Kind of nice to get a little break here for the holidays. I'm sure some of them might be heading back maybe to their hometowns and things as well. And Friday and Saturday, the 2nd and 3rd, they'll be back at home. No, they won't. They'll be on the road at the Minnesota Moose. Yeah. They won't be home till like the 11th and 12th.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. But we'll definitely we'll have Coach on soon and talking more about that. But I hope they enjoy the break. Very well earned and deserved. Thank you so much for all that great coverage there, Randy. Appreciate it all. Did want to add just one last note. As far as Stratford and Kimberly, both earned its 8th state championship, which ranks 2nd all-time in the 49-year history of the state football tournament. Only Fond du Lac and St. Mary Springs has 9. The 9 has more. I didn't know that until this weekend. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know how I missed that. But
And a lot of people thought Springs was going to win it again until Stratford got that pick in the end zone in overtime and knocked them off from the ranks of undefeated and number 1 in the state, too.
Fun season. All things being said, we had, I think, a little more excitement in this area than maybe some of us thought we would with Lincoln and Nacusa and Assumption and Port Edwards pulling off some games here. And just a fun season.
I remember back when we went over to Pittsville with Assumption, second game of the year, and it was just brutally hot in the broadcast booth. And I'm thinking to myself, just wait till the end of the year. I think it'll be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Well, this weekend was just a bit nippy down in Madison for that state tournament. You cover those 14 weeks and the weather changes just as close in Wisconsin. Of course, it can do that in 14 minutes. So,
yeah. I don't know, in our last 10 so minutes here and everything, please feel free to call up 424-2600. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Just call up and join the conversation. To do so, 424-2600. I can imagine that most Green Bay fans out there are not too excited with the way the team played on Thursday. That feels like it was a year ago, so I don't know how much you want to talk about that necessarily or anything, and I don't know if there's anything new to talk about with that team or with the situation they're in. I did want to, if it's cool with everybody, I would like to talk a little Brewers, talk a little baseball. Over the weekend, they had arbitration, and Brett Suter signed with, I believe, Colorado? I think it was Colorado he signed with. But one of the most, if not the most longest tenured Brewer going to be leaving. I don't think Brett has barely been somebody that you're looking at as a reason why you could win a pennant necessarily for a while now. He's kind of been... Still, tough to always see those guys go. So I wanted to touch on something that might make Brewer fans more excited and happy, something to look forward to. You never know how free agency is going to play out or any of those things, but you do know who you got in-house. You got these prospects. And, any of us baseball fans, we've heard prospects our whole lives, and the Todd Van Poppels, the guys, and I'm so sorry to pick on that poor man. I always bring up his name. But he's kind of the shining example for my generation of hey, here's this guy. Everybody wants his baseball card. He's going to be the next great pitcher. He's going to be Bob Welch and Dave Stewart combined for the Oakland A's and all this. And then he just, no, you just never hear of him again. So I know I understand that part of it too, but there is a young gentleman. I don't know if he's a household name yet, but I think that everything goes the way according to plan. He stays with the franchise. I have no doubt he will be. Bryce Terang is his name. Terang, ranked as the organization's number 4 prospect by MLB Pipeline, figures to factor into Major League pitching this season. A middle infielder selected in the first round by the Brewers in 2018, Terang is coming off one of his best seasons in the minors, batting .286 and having 131 games for AAA Nashville. Also a strong fielder, Terang showcased some power at the plate for the first time in his career. He had 13 homers over the season, and they are just bouncing. They cannot wait to get this kid out there into lineups. And I can't imagine that it'll be very far into the season before we see him. And just watching a little bit of his highlights online and everything, this kid's got an arm. Like, he looks fun. Like, it looks like one... I don't think you can have enough outfielders, especially with the DH position and everything else. I'm very intrigued by seeing this kid play. His last name's Terang, and I think he's one of these things to be very excited about if you're a Brewer fan. There is a couple of relievers, Abner Urbe and Cam Robinson, that look like they're going to be pretty good. Both of these guys throwing in the 97 and the 99 mile an hour fastball range. There's some I don't know major league wise, where they rank in everything, but as far as your teams, your minor league teams, your Cactus League teams and everything, Brewers sitting pretty good. You got some nice prospects.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they develop. That's such a key there is, you know, the prospects. You go back to Brett Suter. You just mentioned 97, 98 mile an hour as these young men are throwing. You know, Suter probably never got much over 87, 88 miles an hour with his fastball. He never, you know, he wasn't just a burner, but he had good location. Whenever you think of Brett Suter, though, what do you think of? You think of the guy who just didn't waste time between pitches. You know, he got the ball back and he's ready and he threw it, you know, and you hear that all the time, and of course, having played some baseball myself, you just loved it when you had pitchers that worked fast because, you know, you didn't have to try to kill time between the pitches and lose your focus. He was always good that way. So in that sense, you know, and I'm sure in the clubhouse that he's going to be missed because he'd been there for quite a number of years. But it is always exciting, yeah. We'll be talking hot stove league before you know it, and then catchers and pitchers will be reporting. It'll be March, and we'll be all excited about April.
David Stern stepping down as president of the baseball operations was certainly noteworthy, too. I imagine some people are happy, some people aren't. Whether however you feel about it, he did lead the Brewers to 554 wins in his time there and made them, for a small market team, made them more relevant than I think a lot of people might have given him credit for. He's not leaving the organization. He's still going to be with things. We're seeing a lot of this in Major League Baseball right now, a lot of moving parts with a lot of franchises, especially anybody who is not named the Dodgers or Yankees, really, essentially.
Yeah, and you think about it, they, you know, lost to the Dodgers, who, you know, perennial powers. They got all-stars up and down that lineup a couple of years back, and then they lost to the Phillies, and the Phillies, of course, won the World Series that year as well. This year, they were one game behind the Phillies from making the playoff, and the Phillies go to the NLCS. So, yeah, he did a nice job with them, that's for sure.
It's impressive when you do that, and you were in you were sellers at the trade deadline, and you still had a playoff chance at the playoffs and everything with that team. We're seeing it even in Oakland, where Billy Beane is stepping aside. He's going to be an assistant to the owner now, and he's not even. And I mean, that's really something, you know. Mr. Moneyball is even moving chairs and changing his title and all this. There's a lot of that going on in baseball right now. I think it's not just fans that are noticing this. It's been like this for a couple of years now. We go into the All-Star weekend. Oh, we know who's going to be in the World Series. I mean, sure enough. I mean, the Yankees are killing it right now. They're 20 games up. The Dodgers, like 12 games up. It's going to be the Dodgers and Yankees for sure. In fact, I'll go to Vegas right now and put that odds down. Wait, what? No? What happened? Where did those teams go? They lost, you mean? I can't imagine what being a GM of any, that it is harder to be a GM of any other sporting franchise than in baseball. I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of homework on this, and I'm sure that, you know, there's plenty of people that can combat that. But it's not enough to be great in the regular season anymore. How do you extend that to the postseason, you know? Let's take a call. Good morning, you're on Playmakers.
Yeah, I was listening to you about the Brewers coming up. I watch everything I can get a hold of on the internet or whatever about, and I knew all about Bryce Drain. I seen him play in Appleton.
Ooh.
A couple years ago. Yeah, I saw him play a couple of years ago.
He's got a nice arm in the outfield.
He's going to be a great one. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to take. Yeah.
So when everybody is telling the Brewers they should be buyers at the trade deadline, everybody's mad at them that they don't do this or they don't do that, a huge reason they didn't is because everybody that called them up wanted this kid, and they were not giving this kid up. I think it was a really smart move on their part, too.
Yeah, I heard about this Cam Robinson guy, too, and I was searching all over where I sit all the time for my notes. I can't find my notes I had. But I take notes all the time, and like I said, they released, we also traded for a pitcher, a Javi or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, he's 27, but he's supposed to be pretty good. He was a position player for a while, but then he converted back. And I guess he's up to 98 or 97 miles an hour, so.
Well, sir,
he's going to be a good one to watch.
You got a little bit of time before the regular season to find your notes, but please do find them because you become one of our better baseball analysts that calls us up and everything. So you go ahead and find those notes, and I always appreciate your calls. You feel pretty good about this Terang too, then, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think he's replacing Peterson and not going to be miss a beat. They're not going to miss a beat having him in there. Replacing Peterson in the lineup.
Yeah, cheaper. I'm glad you brought that up. Jace Peterson not going to be re-signed. He went. They're letting him go to free agency and everything. And I don't know what's I know we saw the situation with Lorenzo Cain, of course, the way that happened and everything. You're going to need a good outfielder, and it doesn't hurt to have one under a nice contract who also has a better bat than some of the names we've mentioned here. So that should be a good fit.
And, you know, even if you do struggle hitting a little bit, you know, the way the Brewers batted last year, it's not going to be a big deal. He can fight his way through it.
I'm glad that they got I lost it there. The Hunter Renfro.
Oh, yeah,
so glad they re-signed him. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good fit. Yes.
I think it's good to have him. Like, yep.
Good idea. Yep.
Appreciate the call, sir. You have a good week. We'll talk next week. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. I always appreciate the feedback from him. He's great. And Randy, is there anything you wanted to touch on in the last minute or two here?
Besides Dallas, Minnesota, 40-3.
I knew it. I knew that's what you're going to do.
Justin Fields, huh? Well, he got a little bit of gimp. Maybe did something with the hamstring, left shoulder issue. That's kind of concerning. That's what you always worry about with a running quarterback, right?
They keep saying, they've been telling us as Chicago fans all season, think about 2024. That's what we're building for. We're going to have more money in free agency than by far and away than anybody else. We saw with the trades and trading away the defense and all this stuff. It's all about next year. And Bear fans, if they're one thing, they're used to waiting another year. So that's one thing. But what good does that do if he's not even able to stand upright in 2024? Like, this is my issue with doing these kind of things. I understand, trade this and this to get what you can. But you better have some people that can do the job. Otherwise, what are we doing? Like, the kid, it doesn't matter how good the kid's going to be in 2024 if he's not even able to stand upright by then. I did actually want to say one thing, though. I was kind of taken back by something, and I did a little homework digging. I didn't get to catch the whole game of Chicago and Atlanta, but I watched the majority of it. And I can't be the only person that noticed the overwhelming amount of Bear jerseys there were in an Atlanta stadium.
Yeah, you could hear it.
It was insane to me. I didn't see that coming. And I know my fan base. I know how we are. But we also know that team hasn't been very good for a long time.
Especially for a 3-7 team, now 3-8.
Yeah. And yet that the fan base shows up when it's out of town. Actually, you can make the argument that Chicago fans show up better at an away game than they do at the home game sometimes. I was really taken back by that. And so I did a little digging. And we've thought this for years. We're starting to get more stats to it. Midwest fans of Midwest teams are the most supportive fan bases there is in all of sports. The only other comparison they have are fans of European soccer teams. I thought that was really cool to see. Like, we've thought this here in the Midwest, but we're also really close to it, and who knows if we're biased or not. No, it actually turns out the stats actually speak to this, that we follow our teams better.
Because we got nothing else to do.
It's absolutely right. No. I thought it was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, that is.
Thank you so much, everybody that called up, listened. We appreciate you all so very much. We got plenty of great sports on the radio throughout the week. We'll be talking more about those a little bit later today at 7 o'clock. Marquette Benz Basketball taking on Mississippi State, part of the Rocket Mortgage Tournament. That'll be on our sister station, WIRI. Tip-off at 7. Go ahead and check that out. Randy, have yourself a great week. We'll talk again later next week, but thank you so much for everything you do, brother.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, too.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll meet you back here for another Playmakers next Monday, and a big shout-out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.